This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Live from the Ladd Tap House on Southeast 11th and Sherman, this is a special draft day edition of Primetime.
To me, he's a mid-second round type.
You can join us for the draft and hang out with Isaac and Souk, Commissioner Swag, and our team GMs for the fans' annual draft party. Brought to you by the Allen Webb Auto Family. Value-driven, values-driven. By Encore Audio Video. Check out their showroom at 14th and Everett or online at EncoreAudioVideo.com. And by Ladd Tap House. There's always something going on at Ladd Tap House. Prime time on your home for the NFL draft. 1080.
Look, baby, this is called learning.
The Fan.
All right, thanks to Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach. Let's get back to the NFL draft. We have a very famous NFL draftee.
Come on.
Sitting at our table.
40th overall pick.
Come on.
40th overall pick in 1998.
I'm going to help you.
1998.
It's 20 years ago. That's what I said in my 20-year reunion.
It is Cameron Ross Cleland, ladies and gentlemen.
Who bludgeoned my beloved BYU Cougars multiple times.
Not Washington. Was it back-to-back years?
Back-to-back years. Back-to-back years.
Washington Huskies.
It was not pretty. Either one.
It was a good time. We took down Sarkisian, and then we had to go. You know, we went to Provo, and that's it. The elevation couldn't get to us. That's what their deal is, the elevation.
That was bad.
Yeah. Greatest college football moment.
Oh, boy. That's that first initial walking out of Husky Stadium.
Like leaving it? Leaving it. Like you're going off to the NFL. This dump. I'm out of this dump.
No, I mean, probably Soup can speak to that. Yeah. There's something when you're in high school and then you walk out in your collegiate time. And I'll tell you this specifically. The NFL can't touch college.
Now, were you starting as a freshman or did you redshirt?
No, I was redshirt. I was a slappy. I was a kid that had no business. But I walked out, and at Washington, you dressed everybody. Everybody was on from varsity to walk-ons. Everybody dressed for home games. And when you walk out and hear that tunnel and you hear the crowd and you're just like, oh, my God, you feel it down to your bones.
Yeah, I bet that's cool.
I'll tell you this. Of all the places I played, and from Alabama to Florida State, old Husky Stadium. No offense to the new one that is beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's different.
And I know Oregon fan won't want to hear it. My favorite place that I ever got to go play as far as holy crap was Old Husky Stadium.
The old track
The old track and just the crowd. And that was a special place back when, UW – I mean, when I was growing up, UW was the thing. I mean, that was big-time West Coast college football. It wasn't USC. It wasn't UCLA. It wasn't Oregon. It was UW, and that was a real tough place to go play. That was my second or third game, and those UW teams were legit, and that was a big-time environment.
So you should listen to Cam's show with Dusty in the mornings here on The Fan.
Right.
But let's zero in on draft day for you. 40th overall, so you went in the second round. What were you thinking? Where were you projected to go?
Well, it's kind of strange because I had a lot of good meetings with guys at the Combine, and you go through your 15-minute rotation, and it's the train station, and you kind of have a few coaches that will talk with you or scouts will tell you, yeah, we like you. But going up to the draft, it was four or five teams are calling, we're going to take you here. So it was anywhere from – so I was the first tight end taken, but it was anywhere from 18 all the way to 50. Somewhere in that range, I was getting calls and telling, okay, we're going to take you here. If you're on the board here, there was certain teams that would tell you, we're going to take you here. The Redskins wanted me here. And it was so inundated that I woke up that morning with my wife, Mindy, and I said, we're going to go play golf. I played golf the whole first morning, because that was back when it's 15 minutes. You're getting four picks per hour. I didn't get drafted until it felt like 5 o'clock. It was awful. And an old Motorola cell phone with me. So you're talking 40th pick. That's a long time to wait. And then you'd get there. My mom and dad were there. So they were taking phone calls. My agent was relaying phone calls to me back and forth. I was trying to let it go. But by the time I was picked, nobody knew.
So somebody calls you. Like a team calls you and says, we're going to take you. You said 18 to 50. So if somebody calls and says, hey, if you're on the board at 18. Well, you were on the board at 18.
I was.
So how does that work? Like they say, we're going to take you if you're on the board at 20, yeah. And then you're on the board at 20, and they don't call you?
Well, what I mean, you guys probably talk about this, but the boards, when you're set, and as the board is set, when you come into that first pick, number one, that board starts going like this. It starts looking like chaos.
Yep. Yeah, it just changes.
Even out of 1, 2, 3, you watch tonight, 1, 2, and 3, everybody thinks they know what they're doing and how they're going to draft and where they're going to go. Every GM and every scouting guy, as soon as that first one goes off the board, they're like, oh, gosh, and then they rotate. This guy's arguing. This guy's erased. What you think you know, your strategy going in,
well, and there's
completely
like
gone.
That internal fight, right?
Gone.
You get two or three guys on a staff that are fighting for one guy, and yep. another guy's fighting for a different, and he gets in the GM's ear. And you know, it's funny for some of these guys, you know, if a team ends up passing to go a different direction, that guy may fall 15 spots due yep. to need or someone else not loving him. There really is a broad range. Once you get past the top 10, seemingly there's a consensus on the top 10 or 12 players, mm-hmm. Regardless of position. You get after that, a lot of it is merely just what a team wants, what yeah. a team needs. And you know, one team may think a guy's worthy of the 15th pick, and like there may not be another team that till 30 that
so
thinks
true.
The guy's there.
It's very emotional, and you can have, like what you said, in the Baker Mayfield talking tonight, and where he's going to go and why he's number one. What is the biggest question you ask? Maybe he's got more moxie. Maybe John Dorsey figures that if I'm Sam Darnold, I don't have that kind of carry, that kind of clout. Maybe he won't sell as many jerseys. There's so many things and factors. Emotion comes into a lot of it.
So Cam Cleland is with us here. We're at Lad Tap House for the NFL Draft Party. We'll have the picks live next hour. About an hour from now, they'll begin. Maybe an hour and 10 minutes. Well, actually, no. Looks like it starts in about 50 minutes, so right at 5. So we'll have the picks live. So I wanted to ask you, because Josh Allen
yeah.
is in the news today.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, that... So
yeah.
he had some racist tweets. He called, and this was in 2012, 2013. He was 16 and 17 years old. Mm-hmm. Somebody had them. They sat on them. They waited until freaking draft day.
Yep, strategy.
And they threw him out there, and he would call his buddies the N-word. He mm-hmm. said, somebody asked him, why are you so white? He said, if it ain't white, it ain't right.
A lot of penis jokes, too.
Yeah.
A lot of ween jokes, but
yeah.
come on. We love ween joke. And
we do.
Here's the best tweet.
We're dudes.
The best tweet was, I hate LeBron. Don't we all have that
tweet? That's honest.
Just simple.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so here's what I want to ask you. Like, that is, to me, that's tough. He's got to own that, and he did own that, but he was so young. You know, what if Cam Cleland at the age of 14, 15, and 16, and I'm not saying anything
yeah.
racist, I'm just saying, like, think about what that must do, because you've been there. You've been on that day. You said it's nerve-wracking, it's hard, you're thinking about money, you're thinking your life's going to change. That could have cost that kid millions of dollars.
It will. Not only will it, and think is, Isaac, I wish I could say, I mean, I made mistakes. We all made mistakes. We're
right.
stupid when we're in high school. And I said this today on the show, there's an expectation level when I'm a franchise leading guy, I'm giving you the keys to my Bugatti. That's what I call a franchise. I mean, that is a billion-dollar industry. And I need that guy to be uber mature. I have maturity, leadership, and confidence are my things that I need that are extra on the outside of what I want my quarterback to be in the huddle. I want to walk in. I want to feel that guy. If there's any uncertainty, how many teenagers did you know, or how many young guys did you know that maybe was the mature kid? He's still going to make a ton of mistakes
right.
when they're young. Nobody's perfect. The thing is, don't you think in today's era with some of these young kids, they have examples and they get it? Like some of the excuses that we used now at their age.
I think they do now.
Yeah, they get it now, but even 4 or 5 years ago, they weren't quite ready
right.
for how
it was
social
new.
Media
it was new.
Doing.
Yes.
Yes, it's exploded.
Because I have
now.
You and I have kids that are somewhat similar.
Yeah.
How old's your oldest?
Well, my oldest is 13.
Yeah, and Jason, your oldest 21. Is 21.
Yeah.
Mine's 18. Mine very much understands
yeah.
what he puts on there.
It's forever.
Is forever.
It is.
He knows
forever.
That. But you're right. There is that kind of window of people that they weren't thinking that way
yeah.
or it just wasn't there yet. So I kind of feel bad for him in that way. But I just wonder what his teammates, like what, you know, like that's some bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder in a league that's 75% black,
mm-hmm.
how are his teammates going to
well,
react
first of
to
all,
that?
They're going to ask, that's not cool, man. It's just that's going to be first of all, when he gets in the huddle, and I've said this before, you're getting in the huddle with men. This isn't college anymore. These are men, and these guys are pros. And professionals, when you're in the huddle and you're going to try to come in and lead the franchise, this isn't somebody they want that's immature Billy. This isn't Johnny Manziel. This isn't the type of guy that I want leading my franchise. So I can't speak to what those guys are. Certainly he's going to be asked that question the first thing he comes in the locker, and there's not going to be any cameras around. We're going to have a private session in the steam room, and we're going to figure this out, man, because that ain't going
to
fly.
Yeah, it would seem to me he would have to earn his stripes more than any of these other quarterbacks now because of
this. And he's probably going to take some lumps. It's probably going to be some chicken box. There's probably going to be some, having to bring some breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
Something tells me that, and some of that hazing stuff has obviously changed a lot from, back when you played.
Oh, yeah.
And thank God that it has. Some of that stuff is pure barbaric.
Brutal.
I mean, you can speak to that,
you've
obviously.
You've told the story before, but.
Yeah. Hit and having our gauntlet, being hit with a sack of coins.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
And stuff like
you got
that,
hit in the eye with a sack of coins.
I have less eye vision.
Changed your career.
Detached retina, everything. It's the stupid stuff that guys did then. And, we're changing. I'm 20 years removed from the league. It doesn't sound that long ago, but it really is, and how far we've evolved from practices to social media. I'll tell you right now, if any advice you give to your kids, they're in sports, get them off social media till they're an adult. Don't let them have it. Don't let them make those mistakes. Be a parent. Take responsible. And that's where I look at his parents, too. Did you not scrub his media? Are you not looking at that?
Yeah.
Was you an agent? Did your agency look at it?
Yeah.
But in the end, the kid's young. We're going to make mistakes.
Is a kid who says that at 15 and 16, is he racist?
That's a question I can't answer.
There's no way I could answer that.
You know, the N-word, from my understanding, was used in rap lyrics.
Yeah.
That's what he was quoting.
He
was quoting rap lyrics. The white is nice thing.
If it ain't white, it ain't right.
But you can't do that.
But it's also on social media.
No question. You can't do it.
No question.
That's not even a question.
He owned that.
Yeah.
But he did get railroaded a little bit by somebody just throwing it out on draft day. That's a bit.
No,
much.
And that's exactly strategic by potentially rumors are potentially other
that?
Teams.
Teams will do that
but
to,
other
so that they fall to him.
Most definitely.
Or fall to them.
It's not teams, but it wouldn't doubt that there are agencies and there are smear campaigns to get guys to fall.
God.
Brutal. That's how it works. Yeah.
And he's – I was kind of referencing how the NFL has changed. He's lucky now. Like I said, the rookie always has to bring chicken on Fridays. You go to, whatever.
Yeah, buy the liquor.
You buy the liquor. Yeah. You're going to – you're going to bring the donuts. There'll be some stuff like that. But I do think that today's NFL is going to be easier for a guy like that to go into a locker room than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is obviously a big deal that he's going to have to answer for his teammates. But it is a kinder, gentler environment now than it was 20 years ago.
And it's got to be fit for him, too. You hear that all the time. Fit for the quarterback. Fit for the guy that's right for the franchise.
Now, I know you're out here doing some stuff. Is there a truck out there?
We got Allen Webb Chevrolet. The guys that I represent, I've been waiting for 4 months for my Chevy Silverado.
They made you your own?
They built it from hand.
The Cam Edition.
They built it from hand.
Dude.
And it's
I want to be drafted 40th overall and get my own truck.
No, it doesn't work that way.
That's how it happens.
That is how it happens.
Big rail.
You'll have to pay for it. So, yeah, that's kind of how it works.
So they
have it here. We're doing a big reveal for it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Out front. I hear it's out front right now. And
what?
The shades are pulled.
What?
So I get a chance
to
see it.
When are we going
to
reveal?
We're going to reveal right after I get off the air with you guys.
Okay, well, can you do another quick segment?
Absolutely.
It won't be long.
I'm here for you.
I want your thoughts.
It's your guys' show, though. I'm just here just to hang out.
Yeah, we know it's our show, Cam. I want your thoughts on the quarterbacks.
Okay.
Because I've heard, there's a promo running during, because our promos run during your show, and you're probably sick of the same promo running during your show.
Oh.
Right?
All the time.
Because I'm sick of your promo that runs during our show that says you love Sam Darnold. There's one that's, you're talking about Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's your guy. Now,
I do.
Josh Rosen is his guy.
All right.
And you two experts are going to fight that out.
Ooh.
Fight, fight, fight. Do we get to arm wrestle too?
Because he's kicking my butt, I guarantee it.
Coming up. Who would win? Can we get an arm wrestle?
Because I don't want it.
Look at the size of those hands. I'm not messing with that.
Cam's hands are enormous.
Cam's a real athlete.
I was at 10 3/4 measurement. Is that big?
What does that mean?
That's big.
That's
your
big.
Hands.
Look at those things.
Do they measure? They measure from
the pinky to here. Yeah. So I was almost
10 and a
almost
half?
11. I was almost 11.
Some of the smallest
you
in the draft.
You have tiny hands.
I got baby hands.
Yeah.
I think I had the smallest hands of any offensive lineman at the combine.
Did that really? Like your body, I know, was a problem for you, as it is for me.
That's a good segue.
I mean, it was like he got hurt. You got hurt.
I failed.
You were a good player.
I failed the combine two different ways. That takes something. When you get black flagged
knees
with your knee and your neck, now you've accomplished
but what something. If, what if your knee and your neck were fine? Would your hands have been a problem as an offensive lineman?
Probably not. It would have been okay. They were small. I had small hands. But I went into the combine hoping for like a third, fourth round and came away being like, you're not doing a damn thing.
He has little Trump hands.
I do.
You're killing me.
Small hands. Boy, smells like cabbage. My buddies at BYU called me the T-Rex because I have short arms and tiny little hands.
You do know small hands make things bigger, right?
Yes. It's all about a visual.
Sure. Is that what they say?
Yeah. That's what they say.
All right. Come back. We'll talk about quarterbacks, and then we'll let you go see your new truck.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to go look at it right now.
Let's do this.
All right, 417, Cam Cleland with us here at Ladd Tap House on The Fan.
The Fan's annual draft party at Ladd Tap House on Southeast 11th and Sherman is brought to you by the Allen Webb Auto Family, by Encore Audio Video, and by the Ladd Tap House. Prime time with Isaac and Sue on the home of the NFL Draft, 1080 The Fan.
All right, Cameron Ross Cleland is with us, but he is very famous.
He's big time.
At this point, he just saw his new truck out here.
Yeah.
From the Allen Webb guys. And let me tell you something, it's nice.
It's a nice rig.
Yeah.
Me and Cameron going at it. We're going to arm wrestle, and then the Ford Chevy battle will commence.
Yeah, because you're a Ford guy.
It's a beautiful truck outside.
You've got to be loyal to your brand.
This is crazy.
Loyal to your
crazy.
Brand.
You know what's happening right now?
What?
You just got your new Chevy.
Yeah.
You're a Ford guy.
Yes.
You guys know what I drive, right?
You drive a Dodge.
I drive a Dodge.
Battle Royale. Yeah.
Battle it out.
I'm out. I'm hurt, so I can't fight tonight.
What does that mean? You can't fight tonight.
I can't fight tonight.
Oh, all
right. If there's a fight going on right now, like I'm a little hurt. So.
Yeah, we were talking the other day
about
we did media fights.
Oh, media fights.
Like media fights, and you know, you're the number one seed.
No,
like in the Portland market.
No. Yeah. No. Well, you know I have a lot of hidden things that just might pop out.
Well, you know those like Mike Francesa, you know, in the New York. You've been reading about that.
Oh, of course.
Those guys all hate each other.
Yeah, they are. Like, they just brutal.
They're just brutal on the air.
Shred each other
to one another.
Yeah, Boomer Esiason and mine will just, you know, hey.
Taking a giant
crap. Well, I was going to say some bad words there, but I don't want to do that.
We're on the angry radio. There.
We're on the air.
Yeah, I want to do that.
Okay, so quarterbacks.
Yes.
You're a Darnold guy. Do you think Darnold goes number one, or is it Mayfield?
I find it hard to believe that some of the stories and now how it's been released on Baker Mayfield. If the Browns do make this decision and go ahead and draft Baker Mayfield, they're drafting on emotion. Maybe they're drafting on fit. Maybe they're drafting on somebody they want that's dynamic. That's something that they feel, and Dorsey and the rest of the grunt. Because it's come out that he hasn't even told Hugh Jackson until, the last few days?
Yeah, but 2 days ago that the pick came.
That's ludicrous to me. But a guy that's gone 1-33, do you want his opinion?
Well, I guess, right.
and
they're saying Hugh has loose lips.
Yeah, like, apparently, sounds like it.
Hugh tells everyone.
Well, that's probably why it's out right
now. I
mean,
it's right. But here's the thing. Like, once you make that decision, it's so hard to keep that under wraps because everyone does the, hey, you can't tell anyone. And then that person does the, hey, I've got something you can't tell anyone before you know it gets out.
Yeah,
which is why I think there's some real teeth to this.
I agree with you completely. And that's why I'm a Sam Darnold guy. I have been from the start. I've never deviated off the path with him. One of the things he is, funny as we say, small hands. He does have little hands.
Yeah.
One of his things. But I love his leadership, his arm talent, what he did in the Rose Bowl. If you want to take what he did last year, that's that. There's some teeth to that. That's fair. But his talent wasn't as good. His offensive line, they were a very injured group. And you could ask, what is wrong with Sam Darnold? Try to find the reasons that are wrong with him. Well, he's kind of quiet. He's not passive. He's not going to command the room when he walks in. Physically, he will. But he's not demonstrative. He listened to him talk. So that's probably my only knock on him is he doesn't have that kind of
ball security,
utter moxie.
The turnover thing.
But Mariota kind of had a little of that.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you because I mean you were around some big time quarterbacks in the NFL. You hear the it factor. Did you find? I mean, you played with some all pros.
Yeah.
Was there a common denominator when a guy, I guess, quote unquote, had that it factor?
I think it always comes down to, and I say this over and over again, it sounds boring, but it's how you command a huddle, but getting guys to buy into what you're doing. I can smell a rat at any time. I feel like I have that kind of talent. Athletically, I feel like if I'm with a teammate or something, I know when you're selling me. I know when you're fake. You can see that from a quarterback. Even I had a small guy with Mark Bolger. He was real. He wasn't uber talented. But then when Kurt Warner got in the huddle, you knew it was his huddle. Okay, when I'm in the huddle with Tom Brady, you know when it's time to show up. Even when he was in his younger years, when I was with him, there was a feeling that everybody's with him. There's a camaraderie that he brings to it. He's not the fastest, and we've all seen his pictures. So, yeah, the separation factor is that this guy, I'm here, this guy, this is who I want to go to work.
And supposedly that's the Cleveland thing. Supposedly, again,
that's Mayfield.
It's Mayfield. It's the weirdest thing.
It could be it.
So, Brady, well, no, any of those guys, is that innate? Can a guy learn that? You said Darnold's a little quiet. Can Darnold learn that, or is that a problem for Darnold?
I think it could be a problem, but that's not to say that you can't grow into that. Can we agree that maybe Marcus is not the greatest, most gregarious leader
in the
huddle?
Right.
But he can bring a little bit of something extra that has that. There's some guys like Alex Smith. I'm not going to look to Alex Smith to lead me anywhere, but he has some talent. I mean, even though you look at all those guys, they have talent. It's what takes it to the next level. We talking all pro. Do we want Sam Darnold to win the Super Bowl next year, or will he be a successful quarterback in this league? Yes. Will he be an all-timer?
See, and that's another valid point, too, is that, you know, we hear all the time franchise quarterback. There's a difference between a franchise quarterback and then a top five quarterback.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, Matthew Stafford, you know, has been a very successful guy. Philip Rivers, you know, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's even been an MVP. But, you know, it's like we're always expecting to find the next Breeze, Brady, Roethlisberger, you know, guys like that.
What do you equate success as a quarterback in the NFL?
Three or four of those guys come around in a generation, and it's amazing to me that those are the only expectations that are put on quarterbacks in the first round, and that's a lot to ask.
Yeah. Do you guys think there are any of those guys in this draft, though? Like, Darnold has the best chance. You think Rosen has the best chance?
I think Rosen and Darnold are, to me, the two that fit the mold. I believe that in the NFL, to me, when you look at, and I'm going to embarrass him here a little bit, but when you look at Cam fits a mold of NFL tight end.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm developing a tight end, like you talked about the size of your hands, when I'm drafting a tight end, the tight ends that are successful in this league have a certain metric to them. Not that there's guys that can't do it that are a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, but you fit into a mold, which is why Cam was the first tight end taken off the board. He obviously was a talented player, and he could succeed at college, but there was a mold. Quarterback mold is a very real thing. Not that Drew Brees hasn't been successful, not that Russell Wilson hasn't been successful. When you look at history of this league, they usually fit inside a prism. And the two guys, to me, that fit inside that prism are Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. So to me, if you're asking the guys that have the best chance to do it, it's those two guys. Not that Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson can't, but traditionally speaking, if you're going to go odds on, to me, those are the two guys that look the part.
Yeah, you make a good point. What I really like about Rosen, what happened the other day with his interview and how he not just threw guys under the bus, but he said, I'm going to create a chip on the shoulder for a guy that's very affluent from whatever in Manhattan Beach, your parents are Ivy League, a guy that said, I've always been number two. Everyone's always said that I'm supposed to be better. Fine, I'll prove it. There is an edge to him. He's the most, by far, in my opinion, the most polished quarterback. He looks, take this with a grain of salt, beautiful in the pocket.
He can spin it.
Delivery, presence, vision, all those things. Sam's an uber athlete, how he does it. Baker Mayfield just plays at a different level. He might have that edge. But that's what Josh Rosen brings. I think Josh Rosen can have that kind of ability.
Suk doesn't like Josh Allen. What do you think of Josh Allen?
I'm not in on Josh Allen. I don't think that even if I have bad talent at Wyoming, I watched him versus the Ducks, I should still be able to fit the ball in a 2 to 3 yard window. The NFL window is 6 to 8 inches. You know, the difference between a play in college is like a snap. The difference between a play is it's just lightning quick, the change in the gap. Accuracy can't be taught. That's a gift. Arm talent is great. That means strength. But accuracy, I'm sorry, if you can't make windows throws, even in average quarterbacks and average wide receivers, that's a red flag for me.
He has bad eyes. You hear this from people that study his film, and then you can watch low lights. And again, it's not fair because I'm not watching all 22 film on him. But you've seen enough people that have said this, and then they show you examples of bad eyes.
Yeah.
That he just flat out at the collegiate level did not see things developing in front of him. And that to me is not a lack of talent around you. And if you have a hard time understanding what's going on at the collegiate level, wait, you know, you're 2 plus 2 there. Wait till you get to trigonometry when you get to the NFL, because the like you said, the windows, it's so fast, and the ability to process information, and that to me is not something that's learned over a year or two.
You've heard this before, and I know you have, and I'm sure you've heard it before. You know you can watch a guy when the game slows down.
Yeah. Yes.
The game still looks quick to him. you shouldn't be a top five pick in this league when the game looks quick to you, if that makes sense. He's got to be able to process faster than anybody. You watch the elites, the game, it looks like they're playing in slow motion. They can see everything. Right now, it just feels, even at all rookies, it'll be quick to him. But him processing those throws, short throws, those types of things, yeah, I'm with it.
Yeah, it was one of those things that when I tried to make the transition, to me, the hardest thing was, and I've said this, that when, like, I'm calling out protections as a center, even when I guessed right, I was still wrong.
Yeah.
Because the moment of hesitation where I'm like, I think this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm leaning that way, even that moment of hesitation where I'm guessing, even if you're guessing correct, you're still wrong.
Yeah.
It's that quick, and it's a decisive thing. You can't just sit there and say, I think this is what I'm going to do. You have to know it, and you have to execute it with zero hesitation. And if you don't, you get beat because the damn athletes that are there at the next level, they're heat-seeking missiles.
It's 1% of 1% of 1%.
Yep.
Frightening.
And you were one of them. I mean.
Yeah. I'm very lucky to be part of it. Yeah, I say it every time.
Yeah.
It's a cool brotherhood.
Congrats.
Congrats to be old.
Let's play golf.
Congrats on being in our 40s. Congrats on oldness.
Let's play golf and bring cash.
Let's do that.
All right. Congrats on your new truck, too.
Yeah, boss. Thank you. Thanks to Alan Webb and everything they do and being part of our station, what they've done with me. And, man, we're Chevy guys. I know you're Ford, you're Dodge, but still, we're lucky to have you.
I can be bought.
Yeah.
It's Cam Cleland.
Rob's open.
Thanks, guys.
Listen to Dusty and Cam in the morning. They'll have a big NFL draft breakdown tomorrow. Cam, go enjoy yourself. It is 4:32. Coming up next here at Ladd Tap House, Bill Cosby's going down.
Oh, yeah.
In the news is next. Here's Mike.
Southeast 11th and Sherman is brought to you by the Allen Webb Auto Family, by Encore Audio Video, and by the Ladd Tap House. Prime time with Isaac and Sue on the home of the NFL draft, 1080 The Fan.
Well, if you're just tuning in, it's been a very eventful broadcast. We've had Jonathan Smith, Oregon State coach. Their spring game is Saturday. The great and large-handed Cam Cleland stopped by for some NFL draft talk. We've got our eye on the NFL draft. Looks like only about 21 minutes, 41 seconds until they start picking.
They're doing the first-round parade right now where they're bringing out a lot of guys they think are going to go in the first round. They're introducing them to the crowd, and it's enormous. They're saying they're expecting, I don't know how many actually inside the building, but they said they're expecting between 275 and 350,000 people to roll into this thing at Cowboy Stadium.
It's crazy. We've talked a lot about the quarterbacks. We're only going to do a quick in the news here, and then next segment I want to talk to you about some other guys that aren't quarterbacks that are impact players near the top of the draft.
It's funny because the six quarterbacks could go in the first round. That's really all it's been so far in the draft lead-up has been quarterback talk.
So we'll do that next. Of course, the Hot 5 at 5 in 20 minutes, all the news of the day, not just NFL draft. And then we'll carry the picks live as they happen when they begin right here on the Fan. But right now, it is April 26th, 2018. Time for In the News. Hey. Let me know the news, man. And here is the deal. Here's the big deal today. Bill Cosby, guilty.
Going down. I was on the I was at the gym this morning and was walking on the old treadmill and looked
up. So was
up.
I when I found out.
And there was Bill yelling at the DA, kind of losing his stuff.
So I didn't see that. What happened with? So this is just one allegation. It was just one victim.
Yes.
And it's three counts.
And he was convicted on all three. One a maximum of 10 years in prison. And he's 80 years old, so he's going to die in prison.
And they're going to throw, don't you think they'll throw the max at him? Because even though it was just one, everybody knows there were more.
Yeah, he's not,
so this is it for him.
He's it. He's
and you're right, he's 80.
He's 80. And this is my prediction, by the way. I don't think he does a day in jail. I think he dies. It wouldn't surprise me. And like, The defiant look on his face and yelling at the prosecutor, saying he's sick of this, obviously really upset. But he did get released on bail, so he's free. Sentencing 60 to 90 days. It wouldn't shock me if he either dies, because sometimes this just happens. You know, think of the Joe Paterno thing, or to be honest with you, if he ends it. If he just says, this isn't how I'm going out, I'm not spending my final 5 to 10 years in prison, it wouldn't shock me if Bill Cosby just does himself in.
He needs to call Conrad Murray. Is he in prison?
He's out now.
Oh, is he?
He's out? Yeah, he's out.
He freaking killed Michael Jackson.
He only did, I want to say he did like a year and a half.
Oh, my God.
Like, he didn't go to prison for very long. Bill's going to prison for a long, long time. He will either die in prison or, you know, sometimes the will to live when you're that old and it just leaves you.
Yeah.
It would not shock me if he either killed himself or had a heart attack or something here over the next couple months before he goes in.
Well, and I also think he's gone insane. Did you see what's happened in the case in the courtroom? So the first thing that happened was the judge in his case, and again, this is a retrial. Remember, the first trial was a hung jury.
Yeah.
So this is a retrial, and he gets convicted. It came down today, guilty. But earlier, as they were presenting for the jury, the six alternate jurors were able to get an hour with the courthouse comfort dog. Did you read this?
No, I didn't know there was such a thing as a comfort dog.
They keep the alternate jurors away from the actual jurors.
Yeah.
Right? You know that.
Yeah.
So the six that are the alternates got time with the comfort dog from the courthouse, and they sent him back to their hotel. So the judge is Stephen O'Neill, and he said Thursday he planned to meet with the alternates to let them know they're still important. After O'Neill mentioned the dog, Cosby stood up at the defense table and made a comical barking-like motion with his mouth.
Yikes.
He's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
He's gone insane.
Yeah.
And he's still defiant, which leads me to believe this dude is off his rocker.
Well,
he has convinced himself that he never did any of this stuff.
If you tell yourself a lie for 40 years, you can start to believe it. And I did see, too, that when they were the DA was asking for his bail to be revoked, saying that Cosby had a plane, he started yelling and screaming that he doesn't have a plane, calling people a-holes. Like, he lost it in court today when he was found guilty. But again, think about the ego on this guy. And for 40 years, he has gotten away with this. And to see him brought to justice now, I promise you, at no point during the last four decades did Bill Cosby ever think that this was going to catch up with him. And that's why I said, to me, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he eats a bullet over the next month or two before he ends up going into sentencing.
Did you see the other thing that happened in the trial? Maybe not.
I don't know.
His attorney fell asleep for 30 minutes.
Whoa.
While the judge was talking.
I did not see that.
Yeah, so the jury's deliberating the case.
Yeah, 15 hours.
So they were out doing their deliberations, and jurors asked to have part of Cosby's testimony read back.
Yeah.
So as the judge was reading the testimony, Cosby's lawyer, his name is Tom Mesereau, fell asleep. Of course, they didn't need him for that 30 minutes, so he was like, what, I'm going to maximize my time here.
Take a quick little siesta? That's amazing that your client is facing 30 years in prison. It's Bill Cosby, and you fell asleep?
He was out for 30 minutes. 30 minutes!
Was he snoring?
He must have been.
Did he have glasses on? Isn't it embarrassing when you fall asleep in something that you know you shouldn't be falling asleep in?
I have a hard time doing that.
Do you?
Yeah, because I'm too self-conscious about that. Like, I can't.
It's gotten me before.
Even on planes, like, you know when your head's bobbing?
Yeah.
Like, you're just,
yeah.
I have a hard time with that because I know that looks so funny and looks so silly that I wake up. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. People are watching.
It's
really weird.
Well, I, for one, am happy that Bill Cosby is finally going to get what's coming to him, and whether he dies before he goes to prison or he rots in prison for the rest of his life, Bill, couldn't have happened to a better guy.
Or a worse guy.
That's kind of my point.
Maybe Cosby slipped the attorney something.
Gosh. Do you see now that finally the Cosby Show has been pulled off of every network? You know, there were some places that were still running it.
Good.
They were
Why are they still running that show?
They were still running the Cosby Show.
It changes everything.
I know.
Like, when you watch it, like, I haven't seen it, but I would imagine if you sit down and watch the Cosby Show, knowing what you know now about Bill Cosby, you're like, you can't watch it. Like, how do you watch that?
Up until, I think it was like, I want to say that, like, last Tuesday or something, like, they were still major companies that were carrying this thing. But I guess they suspended it while they were waiting for the verdict. And now that the verdict is out, they said that there will be no more. It's like available in 99 million homes. Still were able to get the Cosby Show. And no more.
All right. Well, there are two other things for in the news. We'll get to them very quickly. One, 3.8 earthquake 77 miles west of Coos Bay today.
Yeah.
So no damage. But reiterating, we're all going to die. And the second is, and I teased this yesterday, Fleetwood Mac's coming to town. Did you see that? So they booted Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah.
So this is their first time touring without Lindsey Buckingham since the 90s.
And so they're
coming to Portland. They announced a North American tour, and they're going to be at Moda Center November 19th.
I love watching Fleetwood Mac because you know that everyone hates each other, and they're all on there because there's a buttload of money in order to be made.
All right, it's 4:46. That is In the News, an abbreviated version today. Coming up next, let's take a listen to Big Soup talk about some of the other guys, non-quarterbacks, that are impact players in this draft. We are only about 15 minutes from the draft getting underway. As a matter of fact, it looks like they have a national anthem for the draft now.
Who?
That appears to be what's happening.
Yeah, they got the, again,
the
it's
color
all,
guard is out.
It's all about not being booed, and you can't really boo the military.
So that's next on The Fan.
The Fan's annual draft party at Ladd Tap House on Southeast 11th and Sherman is brought to you by the Allen Webb Auto Family, by Encore Audio Video, and by the Ladd Tap House. Prime time with Isaac and Sue on the home of the NFL Draft, 1080 The Fan.
It's 4:51 on The Fan, the NFL Draft, only about 10 minutes away. We'll have the picks live here. Don't turn the channel. Pull the knob off your radio.
No one has knobs anymore, Rob. It's all about ball bearings.
That's
now.
Right.
Come
we talked
on.
About this yesterday.
Yeah, no one has a knob.
Put tape over the preset
yeah, there you
button
go. That's
and say,
do.
Do not touch.
Yeah.
So
say,
we'll,
nope.
We'll have the picks. It is Cleveland 1, Giants 2, Jets 3, Cleveland 4, Broncos 5, Colts 6. And we'll progress with it as long as, well, probably till the end of our show. And then we'll turn it over to ESPN Radio, who will have wall-to-wall coverage. So if you want the NFL draft, this is the place to be. So we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks, but I want to – I know you get into this stuff. I want to pick your brain on some of these other impact players. Obviously, Saquon Barkley is just – I mean, by all accounts, the guy's just going to be a beast.
Yeah, people want, you know, people want to say that he's the best player in this draft, period, and that he is a modern-day running back, a three-down running back, and that he can get you 25, 30 carries a game. He's very good in the pass in the pass game. You can move him out to a slot. And here's an underrated aspect, and especially as a rookie, you can keep him on the field in third down because he's very good in pass protection. It's an underrated part of running backs' games is if you can't protect, you can't be on the field in third down. 75% of third downs in the NFL, even third and short, anything more than third and one is a passing down. And if you can't protect, if you're not smart enough or stout enough to be in NFL pass protection, you are not going to be a three-down back, and Barkley certainly is that part. The other one is Quentin Nelson, who's the guard from Notre Dame. Like people talk about him, Steve Hutchinson is a name that gets brought up, and Seattle fans remember, and then he obviously went to Minnesota, but Steve Hutchinson, NFL career, and when Sean Alexander was winning MVPs and Seattle was going to a Super Bowl, it was because Walter Jones on the left side and Steve Hutchinson. And this notion, in fact, I read an article today on 538 about, you know, the blind side, you know, that era, that's over. This idea that you have to have a left tackle now, that there's more and more people that are saying that it's no longer just about finding that blindside protector. One, there's just not many of them. You know, there may only be one, possibly two offensive tackles taken in the first round. Like, we all talk about quarterback position being ruined by the college game. I think left tackle is a position that is being ruined by college football because there's no guys that are ready to go from.
So you're saying the NFL wants them?
The NFL wants them,
but they're just not
there. They're just not there.
So the whole blindside thing is.
Yeah, they're evolving beyond it. And you're now finding, you know, ways to basically exist without an elite left tackle. That this notion that you have to have a Joe Thomas that you pay $14 million a year, that those days are ending. And I think it's interesting that the best offensive lineman on the board and will go far beyond anyone else as far as where they go is a guard. But they do view Quentin Nelson, and some people, as the best player in this draft. And if you want maybe the best can't-miss prospect, I don't think it's Barkley. I think it's Quentin Nelson.
Denver, Indy?
It depends. You know, Denver at five there, again, is a quarterback in play, and that number five is going to be available for sale. So Nelson may be a guy that ends up taking a bit of a tumble if there's a run on quarterbacks, whether Denver takes one or whether Denver sells number five, maybe the Buffalo Bills, and then you think you can grab Quentin Nelson a couple spots back.
Two other first-round guys is the corner from Ohio State, Denzel Ward.
Yeah, and people have him in the same category as Lattimore, who was a teammate, and obviously had a huge impact in New Orleans. When you watch him play, and again, having seen him play maybe 8 to 10 times at Ohio State, early in the year he had some struggles, but really kind of came on late in the year. And so it seems to be the consensus is maybe not quite the player that Lattimore is, but in that mold and a rare guy that probably starts day one. But I don't know if that is the franchise guy that maybe some people are trying to bill him out to be.
And Derwin James, safety from Florida State.
More athletic Cam Chancellor is the one. That people are saying, and when you watch him, when you watch Florida State play, he jumps off at the page. Like, it's scary. he is, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 220 pounds, rare athlete, Mark Barron-esque, can play some linebacker if you wanted to in nickel situations, can play a little bit in the slot, really, really talented player. In fact, I think Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick, I think you're talking about two franchise guys in the secondary that you draft and you put in. Think Jalen Ramsey, think Lattimore, guys like Tyrann Mathieu. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick is a better version of Tyrann Mathieu, a bigger version of Tyrann Mathieu.
Do you expect a lot of trades?
I think there's going to be a ton.
At the top?
I think there's going to be a ton because I think there's a run on quarterbacks. I think five go in the first 15 picks, and I think three of those probably come from trades.
Wow.
I think the Giants are open to it. Cleveland at four is open to it. Denver's open to it. I think Indy at six. I think every one of those teams, that pick is for sale for the right price for someone to move up. And I do think there'll be a run on quarterbacks, and I think it's going to be a very active first round.
And people are texting in that the years of their vehicles and if they have knobs. We're going as late as 2013 with knob.
Really?
Yeah, because I have a knob in mine.
You're all about the knob.
I'm all about the knob.
Yeah, you're old
school. I'm a
knob
guy.
Yeah.
I'm an O. What's that truck? That's an 08.
08?
Yeah. So I have a knob. This guy's got a 2013. He's got a knob.
Oh. Well, again, still knobs out
there.
It's all
about knobs.
I thought it was all ball bearings at this point, but apparently, you know, some don't have CD players now. I had a Mustang that did not have a CD player.
Really?
Yeah. I kept looking for it.
You know my wife's
car. I was like, where the hell is the CD player? Didn't have one.
My wife has a Lexus.
Yeah.
Tape player.
What?
Still. Yes.
What year?
Yes. 2007.
Tape deck, huh?
Yep.
My mom's Cadillac has that.
Boom.
But it's like an 02.
All right. We got to run. We're going to get a Hot 5 at 5 in next, and then the NFL Draft live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.